Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
This is Jim Hansen back with more Secure Freedom Radio, and we're going to talk this segment with Kent Yalowitz, who is a partner at Arnold and Porter Law Firm in New York, and who led a trial team that secured a $655 million jury verdict against the Palestinian Authority and PLO in favor of 11 American families who were injured or damaged or had family members killed in terrorist attacks. Now, Kent, this was a major victory in holding the Palestinian terror state and its organs accountable for what they've been doing since its founding. They've been killing innocents in what they would say is their cause and have rarely ever been actually held accountable. And so we would congratulate you on that. However, a federal appeals court in New York has recently thrown this out. Can you explain the rationale they used for overturning what seems to be common sense accountability?
Sure. The PLO appealed on the theory that it would be constitutionally unfair for the U.S. courts to exercise jurisdiction over them. Essentially, their argument is that it's unfair for them to be held accountable in a U.S. court for murdering American citizens with the intent of influencing U.S. foreign policy. It seems particularly a bizarre result to me in light of the fact that the PLO has a permanent presence here in the United States and that over the past 30 years they've collected $5 billion from the U.S. Congress. So I'm hopeful that either the full court or perhaps the Supreme Court will take a second look at the case and see it our way.
I mean, it seems obvious that they did kill innocents in furtherance of their cause and to influence U.S. foreign policy. But they seem to say now that there was no standing or no jurisdiction for us to do that. But as you mentioned, it sure seems like they are involved in and tied to the United States and certainly willing to cash our checks.
Right. The theory is that what they're trying to do is take the jurisdictional limits that the courts have placed on suing foreign corporations and map those onto their own conduct. But as you said, Jim, they take our money, they kill our citizens. It's a very different situation than a foreign corporation that doesn't really have anything to do with the U.S. and is being asked to come answer for something that is irrelevant to our irrelevant to their contacts with the U.S.
And the entire argument that this, you know, was somehow similar to a corporate conflict of some sort made, I would hope, irrelevant in some way, because this wasn't this suit brought under the Anti-Terrorism Act, which would seem to be a completely different venue than some sort of corporate dispute mediation?
Well, right. I mean, the Anti-Terror Act was passed by unanimous Congress, signed by President Bush, because it was inspired by the PLO murder of Leon Klinghoffer in the Achille Lauro incident. And what Congress and the president were trying to do was provide a civil action for U.S. victims of terror anywhere in the world. They were very clear about that. They were very clear that it was a matter of national security and foreign policy, and that this was a tool in the arsenal against terrorism, and the idea that you wouldn't look at what U.S. interests are in deciding whether it's fair to hold somebody accountable is really quite disheartening to me that that's where at least this panel came out.
So given that this federal appeals court has now overturned this verdict, what are your next steps in favor of the families?
Well, first, we have the option of seeking rehearing from the Second Circuit, full Second Circuit, and that's something that would need to be done next week. We haven't reached a final conclusion on that, but we're considering that very carefully. After that, we would have the option of going to the Supreme Court. It's an important case, a case that's drawn a lot of national attention, and I'm hopeful that the Supreme Court would take the case if necessary. And then, obviously, there are potential political solutions as well. I mean, this nation gives a lot of money to this entity, and the one thing we know is they're not disputing that their people killed these Americans. Their people are the people who did this are still on the payroll of the Palestinian Authority and PLO. They get a monthly paycheck. They get promoted. And all they've done, the only service they're providing for the PLO and the Palestinian Authority is that they sit in jail having admitted to killing innocent people in terror attacks.
So is there a possibility then if the legal remedies don't come out in your favor that a political action potentially tied to foreign aid for the Palestinian Authority or some other way to pressure them into making a settlement with the families would be another option?
Well, that's always lurking in the background. It's been a possibility for a long time. And quite frankly, in order to bring the PLO or Palestinian Authority to the table would require some concerted effort because they just don't seem to care about their reputation. They don't seem to care about the fact that they've done this. They don't seem to have the same. They don't seem to place the same value on the avoidance of murdering and maiming innocent people. You know, the one thing you can say about these terror attacks is they were intentional. This was an intentional Palestinian policy, very carefully thought through and very carefully supported by the political leadership. Now, Arafat, of course, is dead, but many of the people who were deeply engaged in the terror campaign are still around in the Palestinian Authority and PLO and are talked about as successors to Abbas.
And as you mentioned, you know, they seem to actually not care what their reputation is, but worse yet, not care about who they kill in the course of trying to further their goal of in many cases eradicating Israel. I mean, Golda Meir had the famous quote that we will have peace when the Arabs love their children more than they hate us, and the Palestinians are living proof of that. So we've got the option of a potential political settlement, but honestly, it sure seems like within the law, they ought to be able to come to the understanding that this was what it actually was and allow this to go forward. Are you hopeful that the way the law is currently written with another look will come to the right conclusions?
I'm hopeful that the courts will see it the right way. I like to say that right makes might. And I know that we're in the right here. I know that we're in the right on the legal issues, and these families deserve justice.
Well, let's hope that the correct conclusion, both for justice and right, are come to in this case. Thank you very much, Kent Yalowitz, for giving us an update on this case and for your efforts to win this verdict and hopefully get it reinstated.
Thank you, Jim. Let's keep in touch.
That's going to conclude Secure Freedom Radio for today. This is Jim Hansen, and Frank Gaffney will be back with more ammunition in the war for the free world tomorrow.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.